And that gave wilderness remnant material. This was on 6 sheets when I covered it last Sunday. And now it's down to a single sheet, and I'll try to move very quickly. And the dragon, who of course is Satan, was wrought with the woman, and the woman represents Israel, those who come through the tribulation period physically alive, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed among those who flee southward from the Antichrist, beginning in the middle of the tribulation period when he suddenly attacks Israel, will be a preserved, elected group called the remnant. They will be Jews. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now I want you to notice, it says, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So these are born again Jews. And when it says, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, since the third part of the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, I assume and believe that these Jews are those who keep the commandments of God regarding what we call salvation, baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, and I'm convinced they don't just have the testimony of Jesus Christ, but they are keeping the commandments of God that were delivered once to the saints. In other words, I believe these Jews are born-again believers who are united together as a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers. And here they are in Revelation 12, 17, and they are in the midst of the woman Israel. Now, not all Jews will be a part of this remnant. This will be a small remnant in the midst of them, and I covered that last Sunday. Hosea 1, verses 2, 3, then 6, 8, and 9. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. God had Hosea go and marry a prostitute, a whore, and she was to be used as a symbol of Israel's departure from God at that time. And Israel had turned to her many lovers, the nations around her. She had turned to idols, teraphim, different types of false gods, to Baal, to Balaam. And God told Hosea to show the people what they had done by his act of marrying a prostitute, showing that Israel had become a prostitute, a whore that had departed from God. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. The first son was named Jezreel, which means scattered. And God scattered the northern kingdom of Israel, which he represented after this happened. And God indicated one day he would sow, that's what the word is used, scattered, he would sow him again in the earth, and Israel would return. Gomer was the prostitute. She represents the nation of Israel, the whole nation of Israel. Verse 6, And she conceived and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Lohurama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Ruhama means mercy. Lo means no. Lo Ruhama means no mercy. And God showed no mercy, and she was carried away into captivity and scattered over the surface of the entire earth. Verse 8, Now when she had weaned Lohurama, she conceived and bare a son. And God said, Call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people. Lo means not, and Ami means people. Lo Ami means not my people. Then said God, Call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. And God did exactly what he said. Both kingdoms eventually went into two different captivities. Hosea 2:23, then 14 through 16. Now God in Hosea 2:23 makes a promise. He says, And I will sow her unto me in the earth. Jezreel, representing the northern kingdom, was one day to be returned. And she has returned to a large extent. But you haven't seen anything until the early stages of the millennial reign of Christ. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. Lo Ruhama becomes Ruhama, mercy. God will have mercy on those he scattered. And I will say to them which were not my people, Lo Ami, not my people, becomes my people. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. For earlier in the first chapter, he had said, No mercy, not my people, I will not be your God. He indicates in the last days he will return them to power for a millennial reign, and this occurs after the Antichrist drives them into the Negev wilderness. They remain there for about 3.5 years, and then God brings them back, and here's what happens. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. So after the Antichrist drives Israel into the Negev wilderness, a remnant of born-again Jews, if you will, just like the first New Testament church that Jesus organized during his earthly ministry, which was all Jewish, will be preserved in the midst of Israel in the Negev. And when God leads the nation of Israel back into power, defeating the Antichrist himself personally, then for 1,000 years there will be a remnant that will come through of Jews who will have the testimony of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. Now notice what he says in Hosea 2:14-16. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, meaning Israel, and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. This is the reconciliation. This is the reconciliation of Israel. This is the drawing back of Israel. He's going to keep her for 3.5 years protected in the wilderness. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. That's the place that runs from Jericho across to, through a deep valley into the Mount of Olives itself, and that will be the door of hope through which she will flee and the door of hope through which she will return. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. This time, when God brings her back from the Negev wilderness, she's coming through Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea is where she failed the first time. But this time, when God drives out and defeats her enemies before her, the nation of Israel, along with the remnant in the midst, will return, and for 1,000 years, Christ will reign over Israel, and she will be the strongest nation on this earth. And it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, meaning husband, and shall call me no more Baal or Baali, meaning no more false god worship. They'll be called the children of God, and he will be called their husband. That's what Ishi means. Now notice in Revelation 12:6, we shift gears. We go from Hosea to Revelation. Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. That is the place that God allures her into the wilderness of the Negev, where she hath a place, and that place is the wilderness prepared of God. It's something that God has determined beforehand that he will fulfill. That they. Now, many different commentaries and many different preachers that I've talked to say they refers to the heavenly host or angels. That's very possible. Could be. I won't say that's wrong. But I look for a precedent before that, and that's what you need to do in Scripture, go back before it. And the precedent for that, as I understand it, would be the Gentiles. You may say, well, those are the ones that are driving her into the wilderness. Many times I've made a case here to prove to you that when you look at biblical prophecy, you must use the area where that was known at the time that was written in 95 and 96 A.D. And when it says that all nations will come against Israel to destroy her, that means all the known nations at that time. I have a very strong suspicion that they refers back to the Gentiles, but it is referring to those Gentile nations which are still friendly to Israel. And I believe that the United States and possibly England, possibly Australia, there will be some nations who will still be at least partially straight. And I think they will provide tremendous airlift relief of food into the nation of Israel in the Negev wilderness. I do not think they will fight for Israel, but I think they will supply her with the necessities so she can fight herself and so she can be fed. That they should feed her there in the wilderness 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days, or you might as well say 3.5 prophetic years. Each prophetic year in the Bible has 360 days in it. So here's what I've said. This tremendous transformation that's going to take place in our lifetime, I believe. I think this will all be done probably before the year 2008. That's just opinion. Don't brand me a time setter. That's just my opinion. Gomer becomes a faithful wife of God. Ishi means husband. Lohurama, no mercy, becomes Ruhama, mercy. Loami, not my people, becomes Amy, my people. Jezreel, scattered, becomes gathered. I believe this fantastic transformation will have occurred before the year 2008. I am persuaded the 1,260 days begins after the year 2000. I admit all that's conjecture, but the fact that God will do that for Israel is not conjecture. Now, I'm going to begin talking about the remnant, and I hope to finish it today, this morning, because this remnant is a very important thing in that it helps us to understand what's going on the world scene. The remnants. First, let's look at Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. God indicates in other scriptures that when he first chose Israel, she was like a newborn baby, still bloody out of the womb, laying in a desert area, and God came along and picked her up and preserved her. And God has picked her up and preserved her, and she is still God's chosen vessel. Notice what he says in verse 4. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs, white hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. So in these verses of Scripture, God emphasizes the past, the present, and the future, and tells the nation of Israel, there will be a remnant. I will carry you. I will preserve you. You are my people. I will never completely abandon you. In Micah 4, 1 and 2, and then 6 and 7. In Micah 4, 1 and 2, it tells us what's going to happen after the remnant returns, but when God has driven out the Antichrist. First, the Antichrist will drive Israel into the Negev wilderness. Then God will utterly defeat the Antichrist in the very face of Israel. When God has destroyed the Antichrist army, at least 5/6 of it, with tremendous earthquake and unbelievable natural phenomena, then Israel will return to the city of Jerusalem. All of the land will be returned to Israel, clean to the Euphrates River. A tremendous kingdom will be established. And believe it or not, the actual remembrance of the church age and who we were and what we did and how God turned to the Gentiles will be taught in all the different institutions in Israel. Now, this is a picture of the millennial reign after the remnant has returned, and they are ruling and reigning over this earth with Christ as their returned king. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain, or government, of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It means it will be above all governments. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Israel is going to be the ruling, dominant nation on this earth in a physical kingdom. Now, please do not try to work we who are in glorified bodies into this. We are not a part of this kingdom. We will be on this earth in glorified bodies given to us by God, working for God, praising Christ, serving Christ, but we will be in a kingdom made up of the angels of God, all the saved of all the ages, and the faithful of God who will be working for Christ in the immediate proximity of wherever Christ is located. Now this is talking about, and the people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain, or the government of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. The millennial temple will be built according to the instructions in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 42. At the end of the tribulation period, it will be rebuilt. By the time it is completed in the early phases of the millennial reign, the Lord Jesus Christ will make his triumphant entry into it. This is in the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel. He will come as the Shekinah glory of God, the parousali, the bodily presence of Christ. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. For 1,000 years, Jews will preach all over this earth the same things that we have preached in this age of grace. Only they will preach the tribulation period as past history, and they will present a fuller, more complete explanation of the things that happened. But they will preach the same Jesus crucified for the sins of man. And by grace through faith, people will be saved in the millennial reign. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth. It pictures the nation of Israel in a completely defeated, stumbling, crippled position. And I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. God has afflicted Israel with tremendous punishment. He has allowed Israel to be tremendously punished by many different wicked peoples. And Israel has suffered a terrifying price for the rejection of her Messiah. But God is going to reassemble, regather her, and in the midst of Israel's regathering will be this preserved remnant that God has brought through. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. Israel was cast off, driven out of the land. God is going to make her the strongest nation in the millennial reign. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. I will be on this earth in a glorified body. All of you who know Christ as Savior will be on this earth as a glorified body. Those who have been faithful in God's church will be in the immediate proximity of wherever Jesus is located. And we will rule and reign over a spiritual kingdom with Christ. We will be used of Christ to deal with these people in the physical realm. I do not think we will be completely visible to these people at all times. They may never see us. But if God wills, just as Christ suddenly appeared behind closed doors in his body, and just as he disappeared from before the eyes of the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and just as the shackles were removed from Elijah's servant's eyes where he could see the heavenly beings around him, so God may allow them occasionally to see into the heavenly realm. But I do not believe that these people in bodies of flesh will be able to visually observe us. Yet I do believe that we will be used of rods of iron by God, and I've shown you that in Revelation several times. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Micah 5:3. Therefore will he give them up. And God did give them up, and he let them be persecuted and prosecuted down through all these ages. But he indicated that that was going to change. Micah 5:3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth, Israel. Israel has been in tremendous travail in the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. She's going to go through some things that you would not believe. Until the time which she which travaileth hath brought forth, and she will finally bring forth, and her Messiah will return. Then the remnant, there's your remnant again, of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. God will preserve a remnant in the Negev wilderness. He will defeat the enemy before them after they have been driven there by the Antichrist. They will come back after he has destroyed 5/6 of the Antichrist army. They will fight, and they will fight only in a mop-up, clean-up action, because God is going to destroy most of the Antichrist army with natural phenomena. In Zechariah 8:12, 22-23, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things. God is going to bless Israel with a breadbasket of botanical products that are beyond our wildest imagination. And they will rule the world, and the fruit that they produce and the crops that they produce will give them control over all the Arab nations around them. And God indicates in Zechariah, if those nations around them, over the rest of the world, don't recognize them as the leading nation and them as God's people, that God will send those Gentile nations no rain. And if they don't have rain, they're going to have to come to Israel to get their food. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:22. And to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. During the millennial reign of Christ, all nations will look to Israel as the nation of God, and they will look upon her as having spiritual blessings from God, and they will seek to find those spiritual blessings through Israel. And the preachers of Israel will proclaim the same Jesus Christ that we have proclaimed. They will proclaim Christ crucified for the sins of men. They will proclaim Christ resurrected from the dead. They will proclaim the ascension of Christ into heaven. They will proclaim that God dealt with the Gentiles through the local New Testament churches. They will proclaim that the church age ended and God has turned back to Israel. They will proclaim that this Christ who returned and who all nations saw at the end of the tribulation period is that same Messiah that they crucified and rejected when he was here. But now he has returned. They will tell the world he is living in the temple in Jerusalem. And they will tell the world that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And those who will believe will be saved by grace through faith. God is not going to change the gospel. The gospel in the millennial reign will be exactly as it is now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Christ is not going to be visible through the entire millennial reign to all these people who are still here in physical bodies on this earth. Those people in physical bodies will still have a sin nature in the flesh, but the devil and all his angels will be confined to the bottomless pit. And God will prove over a 1,000-year period that the basic problem has always been the creature in man's flesh, not just the fact that Satan was continually tempting. And so in this millennial reign, people will be being saved that have never seen Christ. And yet if they will believe the gospel and the truths that are revealed from God's word, they also will be saved, even as we. Isaiah 10, 21 through 23. The remnant shall return, Isaiah 10, 21 through 23, even the remnant of Jacob unto the mighty God. For though thy people, Israel, be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. Now remember that consummation and the devotional that I gave, the last two phrases in Daniel 9, 27, the consummation, the destruction, the final fruition of bringing something to an end. Yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decreed shall overflow with righteousness. This tribulation period that's coming is a consummation of God, an end of this church age. It is a time of tremendous terror, especially the pouring out of the vials of wrath, the seven vials of wrath. But at the end of it, it shall overflow with righteousness. And God will establish a kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, and it will be a kingdom of righteousness. There will be two kingdoms on this earth, a spiritual kingdom, in which the angels of God, the saved of all the ages, and those who were faithful to God in Israel during its time in the Old Testament, those who were faithful to God at the time of the age of grace, the church age, those who were faithful in his church, those who were faithful to God in the nation of Israel as her witness was given to this earth in the past, will live on this earth. They will live in a heavenly place, and they will rule and reign with Christ from the temple in Jerusalem. So will all of those who were faithful in God's local New Testament church. The saved will be scattered all over this earth in a spiritual kingdom. I do not believe that those people who are living in bodies of flesh, the Gentiles that come through the tribulation period physically, and the Israelites who come through physically, I do not believe they will see this spiritual kingdom. They must believe it is there by faith. Just as I have to believe by faith that right now in this auditorium there are angels of God and there are demons of Lucifer, fallen angels. The same spiritual kingdom will be on this earth, except all the evil will have been taken out of it, Satan in the bottomless pit, the interior of the earth for 1,000 years, along with all his angels. Thus you have two kingdoms on this earth. You have a spiritual kingdom in which there is no sin and absolute perfection. All the evil has been removed out of it. And then you have a physical kingdom made up of the Israelites whom God brings through and the Gentiles who come through, a physical kingdom in which there will still be sin in the flesh of those individuals, but they also will have an opportunity to be saved by grace through faith. So when he says, yet a remnant of them shall return, the consummation decreed, the final destruction by God in the tribulation period, will end with an overflowing of righteousness, shall overflow with righteousness and a kingdom for 1,000 years. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consummation. Now, God does this. God destroys 5/6 of the Antichrist army. God does a work during the tribulation period all by himself. For 1,000 years, no one will question the power of God on this earth. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consummation, a destruction, even determined. I read it to you in the last two verses of Daniel 9:27. I realize in Daniel 9:27, those last two verses refers at least to a desolation of the Temple Mount by Titus and later by Hadrian, but I think it extends all down through the age, right into the present time, and eventually the millennial reign of Christ will be accomplished by God, and I think it's going to be probably in our lifetime. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consummation, even determined, in the midst of all the land. In the midst of the land of Israel, God will preserve a remnant as the Antichrist drives it south. He will protect them in the Negev wilderness, and then he will bring them back and restore them to power for 1,000 years. Romans 9:27 through 29. Now notice, we've been dealing with Isaiah. We've been dealing with Hosea. We've been dealing with Old Testament prophecies. And I've been correlating them with prophecies in the book of Revelation concerning the woman. And now I'm going to correlate them with Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 27 through 29. Isaiah, this is Isaias, but I'm going to pronounce it in the Old Testament way. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Paul is referring to a remnant that God will bring through the tribulation period, that God will once again turn back to the nation of Israel. God turned from Israel to the age of the Gentiles, what we call the church age or the age of grace, but really they're all the age of grace. God says a remnant of Israel shall be saved. For he will finish the work. Now it doesn't say that man will use his thermonuclear weaponry and he will finish the work. It says for he, God, will finish the work, I want you to notice, and cut it short in righteousness. Now take a look back up at Isaiah 10 and 22. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decreed shall overflow with righteousness. Now notice what Paul says in Romans. Isaiah also concerning Israel, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now, up in Isaiah 10, 21 through 23, it says, the consummation decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consummation, even determined in the midst of the land. Now, look at what it says in verse 28 in Romans 9. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. That's the same thing that Isaiah said. He's going to cut it short, and unless God had cut those days short, there should no flesh be saved. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. He will make it upon the earth in the midst of the land of Israel. It will be a short work. I believe that the work will be accomplished by God in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, especially the latter portion where the vials of wrath are poured out on this earth. I believe that God will complete the work. He will do it himself. Now, sometimes when you get involved in things like this, it becomes a discourse where you read all this, and isn't that interesting, and isn't that interesting, and isn't that interesting, and how about this, and how about that, or I agree with this, or I don't agree with that, and I'm not sure of this, and I'm not sure of that. But the one thing that I don't want us to lose sight of is this. This is the same God who is my God. This is the same God who came and dwelt in perfect human flesh, born of a virgin, and the same God who loved me and gave himself for me at Calvary. He is the same God who suffered and bled and died for me. He is the same God who took my sins in his own body on the tree. He is the same God who buried my sins with him. He is the same God who removed them as far from me as east is from west. He is the same God who was resurrected for my justification. He is the same God who is alive. He is the same God who indwells me through the new birth. He is the same God who led me to be scripturally baptized. And he is the same God who leads me to work in the church, and he is the same God who called me to be your pastor, and he is also your God. Now, look at this God. He's the only God. Don't be afraid of anything. You have no reason. I have no reason to be afraid of anything. This God has said he would do certain things, and he's the only God. And he has already done many of them, and will do many more. Even as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed. And that seed is the remnant that God promised to bring through. I want you to notice what Paul says in Romans 9:27 would have happened to Israel if God did not do this. Except the Lord God of Sabaoth hath left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped out to the last man. But God's going to preserve a remnant. Now, this Lord of Sabaoth is an interesting expression. You know what Sabaoth means? It means host or armies. Except the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. What armies? What host? The whole host of heaven. The angelic beings that God created. The power of God and all the heavenly powers. The Lord God who controls the future and fate of man. The Lord God of all heavenly hosts and armies is going to preserve Israel. And if God didn't preserve her, the Antichrist would wipe her out. Satan would have accomplished his goal. The remnant would be destroyed. And I say this reverently, God would have been made a liar. But God is going to prove himself forever at this particular time. Now we're talking about a consummation. And it's interesting because in Isaiah 28, 21, and 22, this consummation is discussed. It's an interesting verse of Scripture. Isaiah 28, 21, 22. For the Lord shall rise up. Now remember, the one point I keep making is the point the Bible makes. God's going to do this. I think sometimes we gain too much confidence in ourselves and the abilities of our own armies and our own national defense, and Israel has done the same. For the Lord shall rise up. Now notice he says, as in Mount Perazim. That's a simile. He says, I'm going to give you an example of how God is going to raise up. All right, what's that talking about? At Perazim, what happened was this. The Philistines were coming in to whip up on David, and I mean they were strong. Israel was outnumbered. She was out-equipped. There was no way under heaven she could win the battle. And God went before, David went before God, and God said, don't worry, I'll take care of them. You just do your job. You just go forth, and I'll win the battle. And God did. David wrote, it was like a flood went before us and destroyed the enemy before our very face. God did it by spiritual means and by the power of his heavenly host. He shall be wrought as, that's a simile, as in the valley of Gibeon. That refers to the time when Joshua was going against the indwelling nations of the promised land. And God sent tremendous, the Bible says, great stones came down from heaven and destroyed the army. In both these cases, it was done by the power of God, either by an unseen heavenly host or by a direct act of God in sending great stones down from heaven to destroy the Antichrist before them. That is exactly what he is going to do when he shakes the land of Israel and destroys 5/6 of the Antichrist army as outlined in Ezekiel 39, verses 1 and 2. Now notice how the writer describes this. That he may do, God may do, his work, his strange work. And my friend, this is a strange work. It's before the eyes of the whole world, and God is going to destroy the Antichrist army, 5/6 of it, according to Ezekiel 39, 1 and 2, by his own power, without the help of man. When the nation of Israel is so downbeaten and so put down and are writhing away in the Negev wilderness with no hope, God's going to destroy the Antichrist army all by himself. Now notice what it says. And bring to pass his act, his strange act. Believe me, it will appear to be a strange act because a nation will be delivered by unseen forces, by the power of God who will manifest himself not only through the spiritual host, but through physical means that will come down to destroy the Antichrist army. Verse 22, Isaiah 28, 22. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. He said, you're liable to stay in captivity longer than you think. Don't be mockers about this, because your bondage will be made even stronger. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard, now notice, from the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, a consummation, a final destruction, even determined upon the whole earth. You're going to see this earth shaken to its very foundation. This generation is going to see the power of God manifested. And we're not going to have any more of these shows on television like we're having now. We're not going to have all these ungodly parades of people on television. And we're not going to have this liberal news media and press that swears up and down they aren't. We're not going to have a nation that's torn and a nation that's in derision. We're going to have a kingdom established where Christ brings in righteousness after the consummation and reigns for 1,000 years. Romans 9, 25 through 26. As he saith also in Hosea. Now, I'm going to pronounce these the way they are in the Old Testament. It says Osee here, but it's Hosea. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. That's why I went back and reviewed Lo-Hurama and Lo-Ami in the book of Hosea earlier in the first part of this. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. That's going to happen, I believe, before the year 2008. Now, I said believe, suspect, think, don't know. But I think that shortly after the year 2000, you're going to see a terrifying big series of events begin to occur. And you're going to see the Lord return. And eventually, before the year 2008, you're going to have this remnant coming back and establishing itself in the land. And there, where they were rejected and by God, Lo-Hurama and Lo-Ami and Jezreel, Gomer being the whore, picturing Israel and her offspring, there she will be restored. Hosea 1, 10, and 11. Though yet the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered, measured, nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, Lo-Ami, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. The Old Testament prophets wrote about this. Paul wrote about it. It's throughout the entire New Testament. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. Remember, there was a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Judah. First, the northern kingdom of Israel was carried into Assyrian captivity. That was when Jezreel's part came into play, where she was scattered. She was scattered all over the world, but especially in Russia and in Eastern Europe. And then they're going to be regathered. The children of Judah, later the kingdom of southern kingdom, which lasted longer than the northern kingdom of Israel, was carried into Babylonian captivity. And they're both going to be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and that one head will be their Messiah, the returned Lord Jesus Christ, and a high priest who rules through him. And they shall come up out of the land. What land? They shall come up out of the land upon which God has determined a consummation, except in that land, and God will preserve them and protect them in the Negev wilderness. They shall come up out of the land, the Negev wilderness, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Jezreel means scattered. God scattered them, took the northern 10 tribes into captivity. Now he's going to be regathered them, sowing them in the earth in Israel, and they will never be uprooted once that millennial reign has begun. And God will bring them back in, and they will conquer the land. We'll be on this earth in glorified bodies at this time, when the early stages of the millennial reign began. And I'm looking forward to that with great anticipation. God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he make intercession to Israel. I tell you what, it's 10:10, so I'm going to start right here for Sunday school, and we'll go down through this for preaching, and we'll just pick right up here at preaching, and I'll finish the rest of this for preaching. And like the old black preacher said, asking how he preached, he said, first I tells him, then I retells him, then I tells him again, and then I puts the arousements on him. So in the preaching, I'll tell you and tell you again, then I'll put the arousements on him. Bob, you ready to shut it off?